Staying alert in hope and fear. It's a different quote from Isaiah. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down so that the mountains would quake at your presence to make your name known, that nations might tremble. In the reading from Isaiah we just heard, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, that we may walk in his paths. Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. And so today, this Sunday, the Sunday following Thanksgiving, we begin a new cycle of the church year. This four-week season of Advent is a holy season of watching, of waiting, and of hoping for the Holy One to tear open the heavens and come down, to enter into our lives, to enter into our hearts, to enter into the life of congregations, and into the life of this faithful congregation in powerful and transforming ways, teaching us all over again how it is that God wants us to live. In Scripture, God speaks to us through the words of the prophet during times of turmoil among the people. In the reading we just heard from Isaiah, the people have turned away from God's teaching, and all is not well among them. And so God, through the prophet, calls the people back. And later on in the life of those people, the Hebrew people spent years in exile from their homeland, and the prophet Isaiah spoke God's words of promise and hope to the people again. Comfort, comfort my people, you hear that phrase in our songs in the Messiah. God spoke to the long-suffering people in faraway Babylon who were aching to go home. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Cry to her. She has served her term. Her penalty is paid. She has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. You know these words. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground will become level, the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And God, through the prophet, offered the people hope after their long time of waiting. Salvation was promised, and also a servant, a light to the nations, who would ease all injustice and yet be gentle of spirit. Again from Isaiah. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry nor lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. And even later, after the Hebrew people returned to their home, their land restored, the liberation for which they had been longing made real, even then their adjustment was difficult and they struggled. And again turned away from following the laws of their faith, as we do. And they cried out to God, admitting their failures and acknowledging their understanding of what seemed to be God's absence for them, the reason for it. And they remembered God's saving deeds from the past, God's promises, and they remained hopeful. Oh, that you would rip over in the heavens and descend, they cried again. Don't be too angry with us, God. We are your people, all of us. Well, each Advent in our three-year cycle of readings, we are given a reading, one of those from the prophet Isaiah, to name our realities as well. To name what is going on with us this season, and to give us hope in an ever-present God with us. And each Advent, I prefer to read and share all of the readings from the prophet Isaiah, all 3 years' worth, maybe even some other ones. Every year, we need them. We need them, I think, especially in this year of confusing and conflicting feelings across this nation and in our own hearts and minds. The hopes and fears of all the years meet each other now while the season calls us to stay alert, to stay awake for the opportunity to be part of God's intention, God's dream for us and for our world. Advent in the Christian church is a time of waiting for holy hope for the rebirth of the Christ child in Bethlehem. And the waiting for that unknown time in which the kingdom, the realm of God, will break in once again, and all that Jesus taught us, all that Christ died for, will be fulfilled. Peace and justice will reign, and God's people will nevermore turn away from God's word and wisdom. We wait for that time. Advent is a time of preparation and of watchfulness, as Jesus' words recorded in part of the gospel lesson for this first Sunday in Advent made clear. About that day or about that hour, no one knows. Neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. It's a time when we are called to hold on for dear life. Hold on for God's sake, no matter what the troubling questions or tragedies or turmoils of our lives, no matter what the sinfulness of this world may be or become. Poverty, hunger, homelessness, indifference, oppression, injustice, violence, terror, the world is struggling and hurting, and we long for and cry for that breaking in of God's power to make all things new and right. And we try, following Jesus, we try to be the sort of disciples who are open to God's working through us to bring in the kingdom. My elderly cat, Dazzle, I thought we need a lighter mode in here. My elderly cat, Dazzle, was teaching us these past few days what staying awake and staying alert might look like. My daughter, Catherine Van Vliet Mai, who grew up here in Hinesburg, CVU class of 1988, she and her family were visiting her dad for Thanksgiving over on the southeast side of town here, but spent some time with us over in Shelburne as well. And our Dazzle, a rescue cat we've had a while, is very, very lame, very sweet, a very sleepy sort of cat who normally likes to snooze on a soft pillow by the gas fireplace when we have it on, and even when we don't. She's used to being the only pet in the household, but this year my daughter, son-in-law, and granddaughter brought their new puppy to visit. The most adorable miniature dachshund you have ever seen in your life. It even had little winter snowsuit to wear and a hat for going out in the cold and a sweater. And Dazzle did really well with this exuberant stranger who wanted to be friends and play with her. She tried to be patient. She hissed a little bit. When Mali, that's the name of the dog, got too close and wanted to play with Dazzle's ears, there was a little growl. But mostly she just sat on the pillow and waited. And waited. And waited for hours and never curled up to sleep like she would have normally, just stayed awake, quietly and alert to whatever was going to happen next. And even when the family and little Mali had come back to Hinesburg, she kept watching and waiting, awake and aware for a very long time, as we are called to do in this Advent season. Being awake, being alert, paying attention these next 4 weeks. Awake, alert, paying attention. Thus my decision to wear the safety pin for this season. Not because I would always be the perfect safe person for those feeling especially unsafe these days, as threats increase and freedom to do harm to those not considered the norm appears to embolden some. I wouldn't be the perfect safe person, but I'd try to help. I'd try to offer support when I could. And I decided to wear it not because I think that's all I have to do to be a good ally, be a good ally for those who especially might need one. It's not all I have to do. You know that. It's not all we have to do. Mostly I decided to wear it because it reminds me to stay more alert, more awake, more aware, more watchful in this Advent season for opportunities, as I was saying with the children, to follow Jesus' teachings, to be part of bringing God's kingdom, to be ready to stand with someone who feels especially vulnerable, to be ready to stand with someone who is vulnerable in this imperfect world, to be that friend, to be that protector, to be that helper. And I'm thinking that some of you might have made that same decision and that others of you are finding other ways, different ways, to live out your discipleship in the world as it is and as we hope and believe it will become. In the early Christian church, once it became the official church of Rome about 300 years after Christ, the season of Advent was originally created as a 6-week time of preparation for baptisms at Christmas. Not very much, in fact, very much like the season of Lent was preparation for Easter Eve baptisms. Both times were to be serious times of penitence and of transformation, of study and of rigorous preparation for that sacrament. Thus the use of purple or blue, a little like Lent, a little Lent. However, since at that time and place Easter and actually Pentecost too were much more popular Christian celebrations than was Christmas, the Advent season was eventually shortened to 4 weeks and the emphasis placed instead on preparing for the Christ child appearing and for the realm of God's justice and peace to appear throughout the world. And so we sing and did sing, "Come thou long expected Jesus born to set thy people free from our fears and sins, release us, let us find our rest in thee." Advent is a time in which we watch and wait in hope. Watch and wait in hope for a cosmic spiritual turning around, of which the winter solstice in a few weeks from now gives us a powerful image. You know this place. I once lived along that road called Rockydale, in that narrow valley just east of the Bristol Prayer Rock, the Lord's Prayer Rock, on Route 116. You know it. Just after the road turns up along the New Haven River leading to Lincoln and Mount Abraham. And the rocky cliff we call the Deer Leap looks down over that shady scene from the north. And South Mountain is solidly and steeply on the other side of the river, to the south, as the name would imply. Know where I mean? In Bristol? Yeah? And so from the kitchen window of my little house there in the late fall, I would notice that the sun would shine less and less each day over South Mountain. Until one day, just about this time of year, it would disappear entirely. And then I would watch and wait and hope day by day for the return of the sun over South Mountain, for the turning of the season soon after the solstice, for the light to return to my window, for the light to return to the valley, for the light to return to my life. Maybe you have your own image of light disappearing and returning like that. Advent is like that. We watch and wait in hope for light to break forth and for everything to turn around as the solstice and Christmas near. We look for God to ease fear and release us as individuals and as a world from sin and sorrow and sadness. And we try not to wait with that anxiety as ancient people did in the winter, in which the nights lengthen and the days grow shorter, afraid that the light would disappear entirely. We don't wait that way because we know that the light will not be extinguished. We know that, right? And we want to walk in that light. So may this Advent season for each one of you and for this congregation be a deeply thoughtful and spiritual journey and an especially alert and watchful one. May God tear open the heavens and come down to bring God's realm to this world with justice and God's peace and love in our hearts and lives.